Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's a Food Friday today. The smells and colors and tastes of the warmer weather are back, from the light greens of asparagus and peas to the fresh flavors of the salads and veggie bakes you can make with them. The foods of spring and summer are the perfect blend of healthful and delicious, and we have a studio guest today who knows all about these seasonal goodies and how you can get them fresh and local. Donna Williams is the founder and owner of Field Goods, a produce subscription business that serves the Capital Region and Hudson Valley. They deliver fresh local produce to individuals and businesses weekly. They also run wellness programs for farmers and non-farmers alike. So let's talk seasonal produce. Oh, and Donna's brought some goodies. Healthful, delicious goodies. Give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551. That's 348-2551. Put a 1-800 in front of that. You can also email us, voxpop@wamc.org. voxpop@wamc.org is the email. Or tweet your questions and comments at WAMCVoxPop. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Donna Williams, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Yes, too long. Thank you, Ray. I love coming on your show.
So what is new at Field Goods?
Well, spring is new, so we're bringing in a whole new round of vegetables over the last couple weeks.
Cool.
Spring is really cool because you don't have much of a window with a lot of these products that are coming out, and I'll talk about them when I unload the bag.
Yeah, well, I know you brought fiddleheads.
I bought fiddlehead ferns.
Oh, boy. So, I don't know if I've ever actually had them. We talk about them a lot.
Yeah. Well, fiddleheads, just like a lot, as I said, just like a lot of spring product, is only available for a few weeks.
And it's a time that the people who like this stuff, they go crazy.
They go crazy for it. Yeah. And they're really hard to find, and they're really expensive. But we find them, and we get them in.
So what, do you just look on the side of the road, or what do you do?
No,
how do you find
them? We have a secret, but I will.
All right, don't tell the secrets.
I'll tell the secret. Our fiddleheads this year are from the Schoharie Valley. They're valley foraged.
Oh,
get it?
Oh, valley foraged.
Yeah.
Oh, the comedy's too thick for me today.
Well, it's vegetables.
I would stop the whole show.
You can't not laugh. So, right. Ethan Ball from Schoharie Valley Farm, which is the Carrot Barn, is their fabulous store in the Schoharie Valley. He foraged the fiddleheads.
Okay.
And what that means is he goes out into the swamps, and he has to do it in the evening.
You go to the swamp for the fiddleheads.
You go to the swamp in the evening for the fiddleheads, okay. Which explains why they tend to be very expensive.
Aha!
Because they are the furled fronds of young ferns. So if you
I
can
see.
Say that
I can't even know.
Fast.
I can't even think it. What is the foil? What is that?
Oh, that's our frozen product, and I'll talk about
that. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead.
That's okay.
Can you show me a fiddlehead?
I can show you a fiddlehead.
Does it look like a fiddle?
Well, apparently, maybe back in the day, they look like the head of a fiddle.
Sure, absolutely.
And they are fabulous. All you do to cook these is, just like most vegetables that you can make quick, or just toss them in oil, throw in some garlic, saute away, and off you go. Huh.
Almost looks like you could smoke these.
I'd love to have
I'm
your
not
feedback.
Going, no, I'm
Give
not suggesting. Don't try this at home, kiddies. It looks that.
So the other thing that we delivered this week are ramps.
Yeah. Ah, another famous. People
famous
go crazy over the ramps.
Fancy food, another foraged product, again foraged by Ethan for us. And ramps are wild leeks.
Oh, yes. And I've had these in dishes.
For those of you that are watching us on
WAMC.org. We have the video stream
up.
Exactly.
Sure. They kind of look like scallions with fat tops.
Yeah.
Big fat leaves. And again, these are foraged and only available for short periods of time. They don't have a very long shelf life.
They go crazy over the ramps.
And you can, they're easy to cook. You can make pesto out of them.
Do you eat them raw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to, anything that's foraged, you do have to wash really well.
Okay.
You can eat them raw. You can throw them in, make ramp pesto out of them.
Which we've had, and it's delicious.
Yep. A lot of people caramelize them. Yeah. Lots of different things.
Cool.
So since you'd asked about frozen products, people say to us, you know, what do you guys do in the wintertime and the spring?
Well, we've had you on in off-season, and you do quite a bit.
We do. We go 52 years a year. 52
years
a
week.
Seems like when you have a startup.
And this show is sort of like that sometimes.
So we go 52 weeks a year, and we offer our subscribers frozen vegetables that are local, and they're processed in a with a company called Winterson Farms out of Kingston, New York.
Yeah.
And what they do is they get the product in. They use a process called IQF, which is instant quick freeze. And it tastes like summer in winter. And they're fabulous. So this week we did tomato puree.
Oh, fantastic.
Which you're going to love because you can make tomato sauce incredibly quickly and easily. And it's just out of this world. And green beans.
Oh, they look great.
They
those
are.
Green beans.
In fact, I had a 9-year-old niece who said that she thought they were too crunchy.
Oh, there's nothing. They can never be too crunchy.
I know. And a frozen green beans, too crunchy. So that gives you an idea. So
fantastic.
Those are fantastic products.
So you guys are expanding by leaps and bounds.
We are expanding. We go pretty much all over the WAMC listening area. Thank you, WAMC, which we've been advertising with for
underwriting. Public radio.
It's public radio.
Underwriting.
Sorry, excuse me. Underwriting with for since we launched, since I started the business, because I just knew that the AMC listeners would be a great. They'd be very interested in our product. So I really think WAMC has helped, has grown with us.
Well, that's nice to hear. And we know that the deliveries come here for several of our employees.
Exactly.
And, you know, the trucks are named. What's that all about? I asked one of your guys who work for you, who delivers, and I said, look, the truck is named Susan. What's up with that?
What's up with Susan? Well, we have two trucks that are currently named. One is Susan, one is Gilbert, and we have another coming on Tuesday.
What's the name of the new one?
It's top secret.
It's a secret.
It's top secret.
So you got Gilbert and Susan. You have to give me the backstory. By the way, the number, if you want to talk to Donna Williams, not Susan, is 800-348-2551. We're talking fresh produce. Maybe you want to talk about fiddleheads or ramps or whatever. Now's the time to call. All right, so the trucks are named. Why?
Well, it makes it easier, actually, talking about what truck is going where. If we just say, Susan's going to Poughkeepsie, or Gilbert's heading to Amsterdam, that makes things
a lot easier. Well, you
have two
trucks. So truck one goes here, truck two goes there, right? That would be normal.
But it's not what we do. We do fun stuff at Field Good. So we named the first truck Susan because we have an absolutely phenomenal employee, Susan, who just help us build our business. And then we named the next one Gilbert, another employee, and he came to us through the ARC program. And we say we don't know what we would do without Gilbert. He's sort of the rock of Gibraltar of Field Goods.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Does he have sort of a high and mighty attitude now that he's got a truck named after him?
No.
No? Not at all?
Nope, he doesn't. Gilbert is just, he's steady as steady can be. So it's really fun. We're like a family, and it's a lot of fun, and that's one of the things we do. So
the new truck is named after an employee as well?
Could be.
If this is called Donna, then I'm going to say that this is it's not working out.
It's not working. Right. Well, it's about time I got some credit.
Well, you're on the show.
Yeah,
let's take a call here at 800-348-2551. Fred in Hurley, you're first.
Hi, good morning, Donna, Ray. I have about 10 different kinds of ferns around my house and in great quantity.
Okay.
Are all fern fiddleheads edible?
That's a question.
That's a question.
And then I have a second question also.
Okay.
Well, I can't really answer your first question.
Right.
Your second question would be good. You know, I don't know. That is... Something
to be researched.
Yeah, it would be research, and you probably want to talk to somebody that's been out there and doing that.
And I'm guessing trial and error is not the way to go here.
Yeah, you have to be really careful. I mean, I know people have been poisoned, you know, by not having them properly cooked and that kind of thing, cleaned and cooked.
Yep.
And the second question, I believe it's morel season, mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering... where what are the best locations to look for morels?
Well,
do you have any idea about that?
I don't know. I mean, I know that of all the mushrooms, those are, you know, some of the easier ones to go pick because they're so distinctive in the way that they look.
But there's also, there are two different kinds of morels, and one is poisonous.
That's the tricky part. And we've done shows on foraging on Food Friday. And those who forage mushrooms, and we've had them here, some experts, they'll tell you, you know, this is not for the uninitiated. You got to be careful, man.
Yeah. And it's not, and it's not what we do. We work with experts, if you will. We work with farmers that this
and,
is what they do.
And you're more commercially oriented, in other words.
Yeah, well, we buy it from them.
Yes, exactly.
So,
I understand.
Yep.
So there you go. Hey, Fred, good luck and be careful, my friend. We'll take a quick break and then we'll talk to Donna Williams more about field goods and things that are new.
Thank you.
Yep, you
Thank
got
you.
It. Appreciate the call. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop. It's Food Friday. The fun has just begun.
Support for WAMC comes from Viva Fresh Pasta. 30 years and 30 wines by the glass. European cuisine infused with flavors of the world. Northampton, Massachusetts. Grab life by the knife and fork. VivaFreshPasta.com. Brattleboro Retreat, offering specialized trauma, mental health, and addiction treatment for police, fire, military, veterans, EMTs, and corrections personnel. BrattleboroRetreat.org. Current Compliance Services, Greenwich, New York, and St. Paul, Minnesota. Compliance consultants to the life insurance industry, announcing a symposium in Albany, June 22nd through 24th. KernCompliance.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts. A family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings, Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. And Uncle Sam's All-American Chocolate Factory, celebrating Mother's Day with real chocolate dipped strawberries and chocolate long-stem roses, located on Albany Street, Schenectady, and Newton Plaza, Loudonville. UncleSamsCandy.com.
Is the telephone number. Donna Williams is our guest. Donna is the founder and owner of Field Goods, and we're talking fresh spring and summer goodies here on Food Friday. And just had a bite of this date. It's first of all, it's enormous.
Yep.
Second of all, it's delicious. What is it?
They're called jujubes.
Wow.
And we get them from a farm in New Jersey that's a Korean farm, and they're one of the things that we offer in the winter because we're in the Northeast. So this is a dried fruit product, and we can get it to people in the wintertime.
Yeah.
Another thing that we've got that we've just started to deliver.
Oh, I love this. Love this.
Are apple chips, and they are fantastic.
Let's try one.
And they're made in Western New York State. By Challenge Workforce Solutions, which is an organization that supports disabled folks.
Ah.
So it's one of the wonderful things I think about local foods is, you know, we hire developmentally disabled. A lot of the organizations that we work with do. And it's something you really can do on a local level and make a big impact in that.
Well, that's really good. The dried apples, they're delicious. They're not delicious. They're some other form of apple.
These are Empire.
Empire, but they are delicious.
And what's really interesting, and I'm hoping they'll work with us on this, is, you know, different apples, dried, taste differently, which is something you don't really think about. You think of them as dried apples, but, you know, dried Empire apples taste different than dried Red Delicious apples,
right,
et cetera. So,
yeah.
Which,
no, this is like not too sweet. This is,
right,
this is a nice treat.
Yeah, they're great.
And I can't get over this date. I wish I had peanut butter. I love putting peanut butter on dates.
Some of the other things we've got here are
Look at that.
Pears.
Asian pears and biggies.
Yeah, they're big and they're precious and they're fabulous.
Now, why are Asian pears always in the sort of white cozy?
You know, I think it's because they're expensive and people want to protect them. They actually don't bruise that easily. They're much sturdier than apples, so you can keep them for a long time in your fridge. In fact, unlike apples, they don't turn brown when you cut them, which is nice because they're so big and so dense and so sweet that to eat an entire Asian pear is quite an accomplishment.
You'd have to be one of my children to pull that off.
But they're great and they're funny looking, and that's one of the things that we like to do at Field Goods is expose people to things that they wouldn't normally buy in the store.
And that's a magnificent specimen of an Asian pear.
And again, it's the same farm that we get the jujubes from.
Nice. How many farms do you work with?
We work with about 80 farms.
Wow. And that's expanded. That number has expanded.
It has. And they're all the way from Vermont to small farms in Jersey, which is important for us in the springtime, because even though Jersey's not that far away, it makes a difference in terms of their harvest.
So do you scout them out, or do they find you now that you've become somewhat more prominent?
It's a combination, but we do a lot of scouting. It took us a long time to find this dried apple producer. We're working with more people out of Ithaca that are doing some really interesting things. Organization called Crooked Carrot has really great cabbage slaws that they do in the wintertime, which is super because cabbage has got a really great shelf life, and they, as other root vegetables do, so they chop it up and deliver it to us, and we deliver it to our customers.
Our number to call here is 800-348-2551. Jumping over to Roberta in Greenfield. Roberta, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I have always been gung-ho with all the wild foods, and my mouth started watering when you started talking about the ramps, which I have had and eaten, and they're delicious. However, I'm very concerned about this business with the ferns. At first, somebody who was a nurse, and I was saying, oh, yes, and ferns are over here somewhere, and I'm going to go get some and cook them right up. She says, you're going to get stomach cancer. I got very angry because of the hostility and the negativity. And then out at Norcross Wildlife Sanctuary, then I read somewhere that there's something in fiddleheads that does cause stomach cancer.
Huh.
And then I put that together with the fact that our fabulous wild forager and gatherer, who I love to pieces, Yul Gibbons, died of stomach cancer.
Huh.
And he was out there eating these fiddleheads.
Okay.
And then I went to Norcross Wildlife Sanctuary, and I went on the tour of the sanctuary with the resident plant expert. And we passed a whole bunch of bracken ferns, and I said, well, there's the plant whose fiddleheads killed Yul Gibbons. And she said that the same chemical that is in that fern is in all the other ferns, and none of the ferns are safe to eat.
Ah, well.
And so you could call Wildlife, Norcross Wildlife Sanctuary in Ware, Massachusetts, and ask for the resident plant expert. I think her name begins with a D, and seeing as I'm elderly, I cannot remember the whole name.
That's okay,
but I sure remember.
I'm in that category myself.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I sure remember. If you eat ferns, eat two fiddleheads and leave it at that,
okay,
because you'll do yourself in if you buy them and eat them by the bundle.
All right. Well, fair enough.
Well, and that you can't really buy them and eat them by the bundle unless you're out there foraging them like Yul Gibbons, I suppose, must have been all the time, because they're hard to find. But
we do
a good job researching all of this, and I haven't found anything, obviously, that would cause concern.
And we appreciate the call, Roberta. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that there are Here we go. There will be a lot of people who say, I've been eating fiddlehead ferns for 98 years, and I'm fine.
So
here come the calls, I'm sure. But let's go back to the phones and see what else we have here. John in Niskayuna is on. John.
Yeah, I've been eating fiddleheads for 98 years, and I'm doing fine.
All right, John.
All right, what else do you have to say, John?
In addition to that, I'm a bit of a foodie. I love your show. I have a bed of asparagus that I've been growing for years, and I just love it. There's nothing like asparagus that comes right out of the garden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a new box this year, and, you know, I grow tomatoes and all the normal stuff, but I wondered if you might have some suggestions of other things that I could grow that would be kind of fun and delicious.
Oh, well, one of my favorite things, and I don't know how difficult they would be to grow, are watermelon radishes.
Oh.
I don't know if you've thought about doing anything like that. Pardon me?
They make them that big?
Well, it's not the size. It's what they look like. They're white, and they look like a watermelon on the inside. They're magenta. So
well,
have you Have you heard of those?
No, I sure haven't. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think they'd be really fun to try. And if you haven't tried root vegetables, then that would be something adventurous. And, you know, the nice thing about radishes, although I think the watermelon's a little longer growing, is that, you know, they're early season. And it well, you've got asparagus, but, you know, most of the stuff kind of happens at the end of the season. So arugula would be good, too.
John, thank you.
That's great. I'll try it.
Hey, have a good day. You did bring those
watermelon
radishes.
I did, and you liked them.
And I liked them, yes.
Yeah.
My memory's pretty bad, too. Like Roberta. let's go to Susan in Averill Park. Susan, you're on.
Hey, Donna. This is the Susan that the truck is named after.
No way. You're the famous one.
I am, and it did make my head swell.
You see? I knew
it. I got the truck named after me. But I could answer the fern question or add a little bit more. It's only one type of fern that you generally eat commercially, and I think it's the cinnamon fern from my old botany class, or it could be interrupted fern. And it's usually recommended that you rinse the fiddleheads in boiling water first, which, as I've read, gets rid of the bad chemical, and then stir fry it or something.
Okay, fair enough.
So kind of a double cooking. And then I just want to say that I have had so much fun being a Feel Good customer and then working for Feel Good, and that Donna and I actually met on a WAMC talk show.
We did.
So, you're kidding me.
No.
Wow.
She can tell you the rest of the story.
Yep. We both have, it was a story on Ethiopian adoption, and I heard Susan, and 9 months later, a year later, I had an adopted Ethiopian child.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
Well, this is a great story.
Yeah.
So, Susan, the truck or the bus is named after you, huh? That's pretty great.
Well, I went down because I liked being a customer so much, and I had a little free time, and I asked Donna if I could help her find some new delivery spots, and
wow.
I did, and she's patient with me, and
she's very patient. She's patient with me, I'll tell you that. Susan, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. See, you see? You're beloved.
I'm beloved.
Isn't that amazing? Donna Williams is our guest.
Thank you. Founder
and owner of Field Goods. We're talking fresh produce and veggies. And this date, this jujube, you say?
Jujube.
Very nice. And what's the farm?
It's a Korean farm, and the name leaves me right now. But again, it's in Jersey. It's on our website, but let me see if I have it here just a second.
Well, I don't want to make it difficult for you.
Evergreen Farm.
Mm.
Yep, same place as the Asian pears.
Very nice. Very nice. Let's go to line 4 and Trish in Hudson. Trish, you're on.
Hey, Donna. How are you?
Hey, Trish. How are you?
I'm good. I love black raspberries, and I'm wondering, I almost never see them in stores or farm stands. I do find them sometimes growing in the wild, which I'm thrilled when I find them. Do you know why they're not for sale?
Oh, sure. We do black raspberries. They have a very, very short shelf life. And so when we get them picked that morning and we deliver them the next day. And that's the particularly, you know, the local ones. And that's the challenge. It's a challenge with a lot of the produce and fruits out there that they just can't sit on a grocery shelf.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, I noticed that with mine. I mean, they go moldy.
Pick them and eat them.
Really fast.
Yeah. And they, you know, the problem I think a lot with the American consumers, if we see a little tiny bit of mold, we assume the whole thing is a problem. And that's really tough for grocery stores and other places.
Depends on how hungry you are, really.
That's true.
Do they freeze well?
Oh, yeah. All fruits freeze well. Most produce freezes very well, and I think that's something we don't do enough of, is freezing our excess produce.
There you go. Trish, thanks a lot.
Great, thank you.
So, you know, the tomato puree you brought is, what did you say, flash frozen? What's the process?
It's called IQF, Instant Quick Freeze.
How do you do that?
What they do is they lay them out. You know, like the green beans are probably the best example. They lay them out on sheets, and then they run them through a freezer, and they just freeze them immediately.
So how? What is this, liquid nitrogen? Or, I mean, why is it so cold that they'll freeze instantly?
You know, I don't know. Jim Hyland would have to give a call in and explain that process to us. He's the fellow that runs the company in Kingston that does this. But it's a process that's very successful, and it really creates a great product.
Those green beans
look fresh, bright green.
The day they were picked.
There's something else I brought, which is some cheese. You know, we do cheese also, and this is a chèvre, which is goat cheese, garlic and herb, from Acorn Hill, which is in Walker Valley, New York.
Did you bring crackers?
I didn't bring crackers.
You know what? We'll use the apple chips.
That'll be an interesting hobby.
You dare me? I'll do it.
Because, you know, we're always out there looking for new and interesting products, and we're always hunting down new, new producers. And so this is a recent addition to our cheese board,
we got to try this, if you will. Yeah.
Okay. Another thing we've just added is Flower City Pastas pasta. So this week we delivered people mushroom garlic orzo.
We'll be darned.
These guys are out of Macedon, New York.
So how do you find? I mean, I know you scout out, and sometimes they come to you, but you're using a lot of local providers, or statewide, really, at this point.
It's these guys I found at the Troy Farmers Market years ago. We just start networking, and, you know, we start asking people, and, you know, different people, organizations we work with, who might be doing things that we were looking for. That's how we found our oil. Companies, we get local sunflower and canola oil, which is, they're fantastic products that are really difficult to find. So
this is Flower City Pasta, mushroom garlic orzo, and that's vegan. That's a nice product.
Yeah, it's great. Some of the other things we did this week are our hydroponic lettuce.
Very cool.
A lot, a living product. It has the roots on the bottom, and look how gorgeous that is.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
We did spinach. Spinach is an early season crop, so
that's
one that comes out. You know, potatoes are still around as
they are.
Crop. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you know that apparently back in the day, the springtime was the time of the highest mortality rate due to starvation, which makes sense when you start to think about it.
Absolutely.
Because the storage crops are gone and everything's not coming out. So this, and it really hit home for us because this time of year is one of the hardest times of year for us to find products.
Yeah.
So it makes a lot of sense.
Let's go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. Matthew in Athens. Matthew, you're on.
Hi. We are trying to decide whether to get a share in a local CSA or get, join your organization. How organic are you?
We are, I'm going to say, certified organic, depending on the season, it'd probably be about 25%. And then organically grown would probably bring us up to about 75%. You know, we do fruit each week, and it's very challenging to find organically grown fruit. So that's our sort of traditional farmers tend to be the fruit farmers. My philosophy on CSAs is if you can do them, do them. They're really important. We buy from a large number of CSA farms. It's really important to the farm, but there's only a handful of people that can do them because you have to pay up front. It's a longer commitment. It's a different type of product than what we offer, which is one where people can start and stop it as they
year
wish.
Round.
Yeah. We have a lot of people that are CSA customers, and they do they join Field Goods when their CSA ends, and then they turn us off when the CSA starts. So.
Well, Matthew, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you.
Have a good weekend. Gotta say, the garlic and herb Chèvre is delicious. Yes. Right on the apple chip, by the way. You want to try?
Yes. Okay. That's a good idea.
It really is good.
Well, you know, a lot of these, you know, the smaller local
What's the organization that makes that cheese?
It's called Acorn Hill.
It's excellent. Really is good.
Oh, it is good on the apple chip.
You see? It's my idea now.
It's your idea.
Can you name a truck after me?
Oh.
Don't. No, don't. Just don't do it. Unless it's like a very old, beat-up truck.
Oh, we then have one. We just call it Smiley, but we could call it Smiley Ray.
We'll call it Frowny.
Frowny.
That's much more like it. Much more accurate.
I'm going to rename it Smiley
Ray. All right, fair enough. Donna Williams is our guest, founder and owner of Field Goods. We're having fun today. We're having some cheese, some dates. It's but no fiddleheads right now.
No?
I got to clean them first.
You got to clean them first. Let me see what else I got in my...
All right, you do that. We'll take a short break. The number is 800-348-2551. It's Food Friday, don't you know? And back to the phones we will go in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Gloriosa & Company, Ashfield, Massachusetts. Planning and catering weddings, showers, reunions, and other gatherings, indoors or out, at the Curtis House with three rooms available, or at a variety of venues around the area. GloriosaCO.com. Field Goods, working with Hudson Valley farmers to deliver weekly subscriptions of local produce year-round to workplaces and community locations, supports small farms and healthy eating, field-goods.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Sutter Meats, King Street, Northampton. Providing fresh, local, pasture-raised beef, pork, and lamb. Additional house-made items include rotisserie chickens, bone broths, bacon jam, and handmade sausages. SutterMeats.com. And Terrapin Restaurant Bistro Bar, Rhinebeck, New York. Offering dog-friendly outdoor patio dining in the heart of Rhinebeck Village. Lunch, dinner, and late night, terrapinrestaurant.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday. Ray Graff here, joined today by Donna Williams, a guest here every 3 or 4 months or so, maybe every six
Season.
Months.
Yeah.
Yeah, and food... Field Goods is the food organization, and it's growing by leaps and bounds.
It has. We have 35 employees now.
Wow.
Yeah, which is great.
You know, we talked early on about the business model the first time you were on, and it's an interesting one.
Yeah, it's, you know, we do, I think, a lot of different things really well, and that all has led to our success. You know, we consider ourselves a wellness company, and most of our subscribers get their product at their workplace.
Right.
Because so we, you know, we're a pretty effective, very effective workplace wellness program. And the reason it works is that we remove the barriers to healthy eating. And people really don't think about that. But part of the reason you don't tend to eat as healthy as you should is issues of convenience. So we deliver to your work. Variety and trying things you wouldn't normally try.
Education.
And education.
I think that is a key, because a lot of the times you don't realize, hey, this tastes good.
Right. And or you don't know what to do with it. Or it's ugly. And, but it doesn't matter if it's not good looking.
Some of the ugliest food is the tastiest
food.
It tries
harder,
you know.
So we address all those things, and it really makes a difference for people.
I saw there was a press release today from New York State. Governor Cuomo announces $500,000 in Fresh Connect food box program in the Finger Lakes in New York City. So they're trying to get good foods in urban areas and areas that are not traditionally...
With our underserved food deserts.
A spot where you can't get stuff like this. So it's not exactly your model, but I think there may be an influence there.
Yeah, well, I think the most important element I would think is, again, this box idea. We deliver in a bag. But again, it's you're getting things that are pre-selected for you, which sounds maybe not that appealing to people because they want to pick. But I think in the case of vegetables, particularly with American consumers, we're not very adventurous, and we will opt out of the vegetables if we have the choice. So
right.
If we get them and you got them and you're going to eat them, it's a good thing, and you ultimately are
healthier and happier.
Yeah, and for people like me who are given the option of learning about some of this stuff or just getting the Cheese Whiz and Ritz crackers, you know what I'm going to do.
Yep.
But here I've learned, and the dates are I've been eating the dates. They're really delicious.
GGBs.
Yeah, exactly. And the it's just nice to have you here and bring all this beautiful food. Let's go back to the phones. Kathy in North Egremont. Kathy, you're on.
Hi. The mushroom garlic orzo sounds really good, but my question is about sugar content in fruits versus the sugar content in other products.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me that there's a difference. Is there?
Well, fruit is sweet, right?
Yeah. Well, I know there's the, you know, people talk about the fructose, sucrose difference, and then fruit, you've got fructose. I mean, there's certainly people that are more expert in this than I am, but I think sugar is what they're saying. So, you know, if you've got to watch your sugars, you've also got to watch the amount of fruit that you're eating. And different fruits have different levels of sugars in them.
Well, what my doctors always tell me is counteract that with the fiber. If there's a lot of fiber, it'll tend to, in the grand scheme of things, you're balancing it out.
Yeah, which is what fruit has, particularly berries. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you.
Kathy, thanks a lot. Let's go to Pete in Gilderland. Pete.
Give me one sec. Yes, hello.
Hello, you're on.
Good. Yeah, I might have missed the beginning of the show, so I don't know if it's been repeated, but you started talking about mold on some stuff, and I'm always wondering. She said maybe not that dangerous. So if mold, for instance, on cheese or fruit is cut off from the surface, is it usually safe to eat the rest?
Well, you know, cheese is mold, right? It's made from, so cheese, I think, particularly, you know, blue cheeses incorporate mold. So I think with cheese, it's mainly an issue of how it affects the taste of the cheese itself. I think with, you know, my understanding is that the berries, when they get mold or fungus, again, it impacts the taste of it, but isn't really a food safety issue.
Well, to be clear, you're not a scientist, right?
I am not a scientist.
Okay, let's make that clear.
Yeah.
See, like green mold on a white cheese, it's part of the product?
It's hard. I mean, again, I'm not a scientist, I couldn't say, but I know, you know, cheese is... made from...
Right. I mean, you know, you'd have to vet this with your own common sense and maybe do a little research, but, you know, so not to get you into a lawsuit, Donna.
Right,
that's
exactly.
The key of this. Thank you very much, Pete. We appreciate it. Let's go to Bill in Niskayuna. Bill, you're up.
Yes, I'm in the wine business. I was out in Oregon at a grape grower, fruit grower, and they also grew Marion berries there, and I was... first-hand witness to the IQF process, so I wanted to illuminate a little bit on that.
Oh, please do.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the same exact IQF that you use for your beans, because I wasn't at a bean grower. But for the Marion berries in Willamette, Oregon, what they do is they put them on a sorting table. Mm-hmm. Of course, the better ones are the ones they keep. The other ones go into compost, and then what's left, they put into 5-gallon plastic pails like you would see in, you know, any kitchen application. They seal the top, and then it goes into a little machine that looks like almost like a dish machine in a commercial restaurant. They close the doors, and then the 5-gallon pail is bathed with liquid nitrogen, Ray Graff,
yeah.
Very good guess, for a very short time. It's got to be like 3 seconds. And then they open it up, and they pull it out with gloves on, obviously.
Amazing.
And it's so slick. I mean, you wouldn't believe. And it's really, you know, doesn't take up a lot of room, or it's a lot less equipment than you would think.
It's amazing to me that the plastic doesn't crack.
Well, I would imagine that they have to use a certain type, but I didn't ask them that. It's a great question, Ray.
Well, you know, it's really not our topic, but I'm darned interested in this sort of thing.
You need to get Jim Hyland on.
Okay. Well,
who at the Farm Bridge?
You think we can do a whole hour on IQF?
Time I come.
Well, we know Bill from Niskayuna will call, and that'll be it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think it's very similar. The company that we work with, they use a similar process.
Bill, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Donna Williams is our guest. It's Food Friday. Ray Graff here. Let's go to Jim in Sheffield. Jim, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Great show.
Thanks.
So I'm calling because I know the name of the fern for fiddleheads.
All right.
the ostrich fern. Okay.
Yes, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Yes. Aptly named, I think.
Right. And the reason is because it comes so clean, it's easy to take off the little bit of brown. You don't get the netting that you get on the other fiddleheads.
Oh, right. Wonderful. Now, how did you get your fiddlehead expertise?
Just gathering and enjoying them. And I actually, my parents had a leaf dump, and I noticed the fiddlehead ferns growing, or the ostrich ferns growing. And then the following year, I went back and started harvesting, and I've been checking them every day this week, and they're not up enough to be picking yet.
All right. Well, Jim, and you're, you seem
you.
To be in good health and everything?
I am. And I also... another story is that when you gather, when you gather fiddleheads, you get the black flies.
Oh.
Are they tasty?
When you're being bit by black flies, you're in good fiddlehead country.
Ah.
And then you probably pick faster.
Folk wisdom. Jim, thanks a lot for the call.
One more thing on the apple varieties. I have a small apple orchard. If people go to apple stands in the fall, they'll find a wide variety of sugar content.
Good point.
Varieties, the Romes, the Cortlands, the Northern Spies, have great flavor and much lower sugar content than the modern varieties, which they've been tweeting just to increase the sugar.
I'll be darned. That's a great point, Jim. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for the show.
Have a good weekend. 800-348-2551. I'll tell you, I think this goat garlic cheese.
You're onto something.
With the apple, the dried apple.
All right, we're going to feature it next week.
As soon as we take another call, I'm going to have another one. Oh, let's take another call. Peggy in Niskayuna. Peggy, you're on.
Well, I just wanted to validate what the previous caller said. It is ostrich fern, but my source is the Peterson Guide to Edible Plants. And so they also put in bracken. And they tell you how you can use both. So
well, there you go. Are you a fan?
They don't. Well, yes. I don't think I can. When I first moved here, there were a lot more places that I could go that were accessible. And more people coming in, the places where the fern grows have been diminishing.
Yeah, and I think that's a problem. When it's over foraged, that will happen. Peggy, thanks a lot for the call.
Okay, bye-bye.
So, you know, how would you cook the fiddlehead? What would you do? Do you do this, Donna?
Well, that's as Susan had said earlier, you boil them and then you can rinse them off. And then you just fry them up in oil and garlic, and you're good to go.
Yeah, and so you think it's a tasty treat?
Oh, yeah.
What does it taste like?
They're really
chicken?
Crisp. They taste like, you know, any other green. They're not that bitter. They are great when you throw some Parmesan cheese on them. They're just, you know, like so many vegetables, they are, you know, they can be real quick and easy.
Okay, let's go over to, let's see here, Hugh in, where are you, Hugh?
Yes, I'm in the back of the small Sprinter making my last delivery.
Oh, I'll be darned.
And I heard about the new Sprinter coming.
So you work for Field Goods, Hugh?
I do. I just made a delivery to WAMC a little bit ago.
I'll be darned. And so I think you're probably the one I talked to about when I saw Susan the truck, and I said, what's up with that? Are you the guy I talked to?
I might have been.
Yeah. I was out taking the air that day.
So, Hugh, are you lobbying to get to drive the new truck?
I wasn't lobbying for the name. I was lobbying for the new truck to keep it pristine.
Ah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Is it named Hugh by any chance?
No. Can't say.
All right.
Can't say. Although Hugh has been with us. He's one of our longest standing employees, and he is absolutely fabulous.
Okay, well, that sounds like the truck will not be named after you, Hugh, but it's a nice name for a truck.
Thank you.
Maybe a minivan or something down the road. Hey, thanks for the call, bud. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Walker in Lee, Mass. Walker, you're on.
Hey, Ray. So I'm calling about the liquid nitrogen comment earlier there with the plastic buckets.
Mm-hmm.
They got to be using HDPE, stuff that's been at milk bottles made out of. It's the only thing that would be that temperature resistant.
Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem.
All right, have a good weekend. You see the things you learn on this program?
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. So what's in next week's bag? Do you know yet?
Yeah, asparagus.
Great.
So that's exciting. We'll be getting most of it from Migliarelli Farm.
Ah.
You know, there are not a lot of asparagus growers in...
Is it tough to do?
It takes time. It takes up to 3 years for the asparagus plant to grow to the point where you can actually harvest it. It also takes land. You know, you don't really think about it, but things that grow tall as opposed to grow, and asparagus is tall, but also grows wide.
Yeah.
That uses more land so that it's more costly.
True.
And again, this has to do with distribution. Asparagus is unpredictable.
In what way?
It can not, you know, can sprout overnight. So as a farmer, you could wake up in the morning and have a lot of asparagus or no asparagus. And so that can be, and it doesn't have a long shelf life. So that means you got to turn around and sell it right away. And those are some of the elements that make growing certain types of produce challenging in a way that we don't really think about.
I love asparagus.
I love asparagus, too. So we'll be getting it from Migliarelli and then maybe down from some New Jersey asparagus also.
Great. How do you cook yours? What's your favorite way?
I like to blanch it very quickly and then drop it in ice and then eat it cold.
My wife will do, I think she drizzles with some sort of oil.
Right.
And then seasons and then broils. And really good that way.
Yeah, everybody has their own different way of cooking asparagus. I mean, another thing we're doing next week is mustard greens.
Oh, really?
And we talk this week in our newsletter about massaging the mustard greens.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah.
How does one do that?
Well, massaging.
You have to buy it dinner first?
Exactly. Actually, the way you massage it, I kind of described it as more like you need to give it a Russian massage. you got to be really ruthless. Exactly. And sort of massaging greens seems to be a new food fad. So
I've not heard about this fad.
No, well, we're always on the cutting edge here at Field Good. So massaging it breaks up the cells, which then reduces the bitterness, or in the case of like mustard greens, the spiciness.
That's another foraged favorite, right?
No, they harvest and grow mustard greens. I'm not familiar with if you can find wild mustard greens or not, but these are harvested and grown for us.
All right, let's go over to Susan in Clifton Park. Susan, you're on.
Hi, thank you. Sure. Donna, I just posted on our class Facebook page that I'm listening to you on the radio now.
Oh.
Yes.
Which
two things. Number one, I actually massage my kale, but I've never admitted that to anyone.
massaging my kale. It's a late night program.
I actually did learn that from a chef, but I wanted to ask you, you said something earlier about freezing vegetables because I have like a massive pet peeve about throwing out, my vegetables. Not fruit so much, but vegetables. It's like a massive thing. So I wanted to ask you, you know, you talk about asparagus. You say you can freeze any vegetables. Mm-hmm. And you talk about asparagus. Can you freeze asparagus? I mean, how does this work, really?
Sure. Well, there's a couple great websites online that'll tell you how to freeze every vegetable. Generally, what they'll tell you to do is you blanch them, and each vegetable has its own kind of
blanching is dropping
them in boiling water
quickly.
A few seconds, few minutes, and then you drain them, let them dry off, and then throw them in the freezer, and that helps keep them fresh and lasting longer. You know, personally, I just, when I've got excess stuff, which I do, I'll just wash it off, throw it in a plastic bag, and throw it in the freezer. Because pretty much anything you can cook, you can freeze.
Right, but then, I mean, when it's string beans or whatever, when you defrost them, aren't they mushy?
In 10 seconds, because we're out of time.
Not necessarily, and that's why you can throw them in soups.
Okay.
Great. Okay,
Susan,
thanks
a lot. You'll be the last one today. All right, Donna Williams, what's the website?
The website is www.field-goods.com. It's field-goods.com.
Well, thanks for bringing all the stuff.
Oh, it's such a pleasure, really.
We have fun. And the next time you're on, I'm sure there'll be 7 or 8 trucks. Hugh will finally have his own vehicle. Well, thanks for coming. We appreciate everyone who listened and called in. Support comes from Big Y, family-owned and operated with Big Y Express stations in Lee and Pittsfield, celebrating 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, offering full-service catering at the restaurant in Sunderland and throughout western Massachusetts. BlueHeronDining.com/catering. And the Black Sheep, downtown Amherst, a New York-style delicatessen and European-style all-butter scratch bakery, caterer, and cafe, offering fair trade coffee. BlackSheepDeli.com. Thanks again to the great Donna Williams of Field Goods for being here. Thanks to Zach Malloy. A B-plus job on the board today. B. We'll call it a B. Thanks to Barb King, who answered the calls, A-plus all the way. Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer, always good. I'm Ray Graff, C-minus. Stay tuned. Alan Shartok will be on Monday with a Medical Monday. The news is next. Have a great weekend.